And now we go live to President Donald Trump's press conference.
Listen, everyone. I know everyone's got questions about the wall. They want to know about the budget. They want to know about North Korea.
Ooh, over here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I noticed you were wearing some new socks, Mr. President. Where are those from?
That's right. These are the most luxurious socks you'll ever see in your entire life. They're from Mack Weldon. MackWeldon.com. It's great. It's wonderful. Everyone says Mack Weldon's amazing.
Mack Weldon, well, what do they believe in?
They believe in smart design, premium fabrics, simple shopping. I like things simple. Simple, like my hair. It's fantastic.
What can you get on the website?
You can get anything on the website. I'm talking shirts. You can get shoes, undershirts. Believe me. You can even hoodies and sweatpants. Lord knows I love sweatpants. Oh my God, I love sweatpants. They're amazing.
I wear a lot of underwear, but I sweat a lot, so I need underwear that makes me not sweat and smell.
Totally understand. I play golf every weekend. Normally I smell. Normally it's horrible. But Mack Weldon has silver underwear and shirts. Naturally antimicrobial. That means you don't smell. Oh, antimicrobial. That's a word.
A final question, Mr. President. Are these clothes comfortable?
Oh, they're amazingly comfortable. Look at me. Normally, I look fat as hell.
But what if I don't like my first pair?
That's okay. If you don't like your first pair, you can keep it. They'll still refund you. They don't even ask questions. And I love that. I love not being asked questions because normally I don't know the answers.
I want to say something too.
You shut up.
I am Melania.
I get her and the maid mixed up all the time.
I like Mack Weldon too because of the socks and the underwear. Sometimes the Donald lets me wear shirts.
All right, no more questions. I'm signing an executive order right now. Everyone has to go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off all your men's merchandise using promo code ALN. MackWeldon.com, 20% off, promo code ALN. Bigly, believe me.
Last question, why is Melania in that cage?
Please help me.
Will someone let Melania out eventually?
Please help me.
Give her a food dish or something.
Please, let me sleep in the bed.
Do we have a banana? She loves bananas.
If you like clothes that feel good and are the most comfortable clothes of all time, go to MackWeldon.com right now and pick from underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants that will make you feel good about your life. Go to MackWeldon.com right now and use promo code ALN and get 20% off your order. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code ALN, and get 20% off your order. I'm telling you, these clothes are the shit. Brad and I love them. We wear them all the time. Brad?
I'm wearing mine right now.
Yep, and actually you're wearing only the underwear.
Damn right.
Hey everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Boy, I was in Tahoe with Brad Williams for his bachelor party. Oh my God. Debauchery to the highest form. But a lot of fun. And appropriate fun, you know? We got in some trouble here and there, but it was classy. And we sent this guy off in the right way. And very pumped for him. Taking this step into being, I guess, a full-on adult. That's how I would, you know, qualify marriage. That means you're not a kid anymore, because kids don't get married. Well, actually, that's not true. They do. I guess Utah is all about kids getting married. But that's a whole other podcast. Today's episode, holy shit, one of my best buds, one of the best comics actors in comedy. I'll say that. He has. He's been working consistently the last 7, 8, 9 years. His third Netflix special, I'm sorry, third comedy special just came out on Netflix called Man on Fire. He has a new podcast that we talk about called Congratulations. We discuss in his special about divorce, his father directing his special, coming up with catchphrases, backtracking to some of his Vine days. And he also drops his amazing Jean-Claude Van Damme impression on us, doing a commercial for a fake sponsor for the podcast. You know him. You love him. He's a beast. It's the one and only Chris D'Elia back on the ALN podcast. It's been a few years since Chris has been on, so was so pumped that he came back by. And again, just nonstop laughs and great insight into comedy, which Chris is just, I consider to be one of the hardest working dudes out there in every aspect of what he does. You see it in his third special. It's really, I think, some of his best work. And he's getting that type of accolades coming at him. And the sky's the limit for this dude. I feel like we talked about it when I first got to know him about how he wanted to be in action movies. And I feel like that's what's coming next. He just did some dramatic film that I think he's going to be pretty dope in. And I feel like that's going to open some crazy doors. So Enjoy the hell out of this episode. We loved it. Chris is the man. Follow him on Twitter, all social media, at Chris D'Elia. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter and Instagram, AdamRayComedy.com for my tour dates, BradWilliamsComedy.com for his tour dates, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, at Funny Brad on Twitter, at Alien Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. This week, I'm in Montreal, Canada. Tomorrow through Saturday, I'm at the Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal. I got a show on Wednesday, the Kevin Hart LOL taping, and then I've also got the goddamn Comedy Jam on Thursday. Oh, I'm sorry, both those shows are on Thursday. So check your local listings. The LOL Kevin Hart Comedy taping on Thursday at 7, and then the goddamn Comedy Jam at midnight on Thursday. I'm so pumped. And then, of course, next week, I go to Denver for the Comedy Works South. Comedy Works South, August 1st and 2nd. Come out and see me. Get your tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Bring in Avery Pearson doing the music thing for the first time in Denver. So pumped. That's Denver Comedy Works, August 1st and 2nd. Comedy Works South, the landmark venue. And then August 4th and 5th, I go right from Denver to San Diego back at the La Jolla Comedy Store. August 4th and 5th. Get your tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Two shows each night. Gonna be a blast. And then Austin, Chicago, and a few other dates popping up, all at AdamRayComedy.com. Get your tickets there. Brad Williams, where is he going to be this week? Well, Brad is always on the road, and now that he is fresh off his bachelor party, he's ready to jump back into reality, and he will be at the Hollywood Improv tomorrow night and Wednesday night, and then he will be in Grand Rapids, Michigan at Dr. Grin's Comedy Club Thursday through Saturday at Dr. Grin's Comedy Club in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Go see Brad. Tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for merch and past episodes. Subscribe on iTunes. Rate and comment on the iTunes page. Helps us climb the charts. We appreciate all your emails. Continue to send your favorite ALN highlights, moments to AboutLastNightPod@gmail.com. We will read some on the air. You get a chance to win some free merch. Speaking of merch, we have new merch designs set and ready to go. So that shit is coming. I'm telling you, it's going to be dope. New hats, new beanies, hoodies, and excuse me, sweats, which I'm very pumped on. I'm a big sweats guy, which I feel like most people are. I'm a big sweats guy. Yeah, fucking, they're comfy, man. Everybody likes comfy pants. So anyway, be on the lookout for that. And tons of more great episodes coming as well. Oh, and if you haven't yet, please go to my YouTube or Facebook fan page and check out the video I did at Comic-Con. I went to Comic-Con for Thursday and did a bunch of Man on the Street interviews, which turned out amazing. And there's a great 5-minute Man on the Street interview video on my Facebook fan page or my YouTube channel, which is hilarious. So go check that out. Type in Adam Ray Comic-Con on YouTube or find it on my Facebook fan page. Share it, laugh, enjoy it. All right, now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Chris D'Elia.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and a no podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
You're really good at that, by the way.
What?
Talking just you.
Just being me? Oh, thanks. Dude, I literally thought I wouldn't be able to do it, but I was like, dude, there's everyone's making so much fucking money on a podcast.
Yeah. And it's like,
I mean, you look at this place. We are rolling in it right
this
now.
This place is, you guys, I don't know if we're recording, you guys can't see, but it's lined in gold.
Yeah.
Don't you do a video?
No? I mean, we try not to show, because, you know, there's been all those robberies where the guys have, like, shown, like, hey, this is how fucking rich we are, and then people look at our schedules, see when we're gone.
Yeah.
So
MTV Cribs, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Would you ever be on MTV Cribs if they brought it back?
No. I don't. Well, I mean, I don't know. If it was a big, big hit, I'd probably be like, "All right, I'll just do it, so people will see me, and I'll get more followers."
But also, I feel like you would do some really silly shit, like because nobody ever did a funny Cribs. No rapper.
Redman did.
He did? That's right. Yeah, because his house was like, his doorbell was you had to rub the two wires together.
Yeah. It was really funny.
And he like still had a Nintendo 64, which at that time was like still 10 years old. He's like, I keep it real old school.
But he was the only one that I think did that.
Yeah, there was even comedians on there were like...
Were there? And they didn't do it funny?
Yeah, there were like a couple of them, and they're like, I mean, I don't know. It was mostly just rappers.
That's right.
And
Bonnie Hunt was like super.
Bonnie Hunt had a hell of a fish tank.
Really? She didn't do one. No. Okay. Well, she was famous back then.
She was. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the mystique behind Bonnie Hunt. Like, nobody knew how rich she was.
Yeah.
So when you say shit, it was like, oh, I remember she, like, yeah. Jamie Masada could be like, buddy, Bonnie Hunt used to pull up in Mercedes, one day Lamborghini, next, yeah. Get soup, do set, leave.
Right.
And we would probably be like, fuck, man, yeah. Well, she was dope back then.
Wait, Bonnie Hunt was the one with that sitcom, right?
Yeah.
She probably is loaded.
She also had a talk show, the Bonnie Hunt Show.
Oh, right. Yeah, she did.
She was the sister in Jerry Maguire. That's... Dude,
can you... You can't have a conversation with Adam Ray without it talking about the 90s.
This is a true statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love him.
I mean...
It's a great time.
Yeah.
The 90s produced a lot of great stuff.
I love the 90s. Yeah, sure. I love the 80s and 90s.
What's your favorite decade?
Like,
if you were to... Like, when you look in the mirror, what do you feel like you most... I mean, your look is very 90s.
Yeah, I feel like I'm 90s or yeah, I guess I feel like I'm 90s or 80s, but 90s was like, I feel like maybe I'm 80s because yeah. 90s is like, I was born in 1980, but like 90s is like, dude, there was so much bad fashion, like late 90s.
There's that thing where you go back. I know CNN has that thing called the 90s that's about to air. And
yeah.
I'll probably watch it and
it's
I'll
great.
Look, and I'll look back and I'll go like, oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
what were the fat, like the hammer pants and the
I guess yeah, big
a lot of bracelets,
like,
yeah.
And like frosted tips, I feel like.
Oh
like,
yeah.
I had those.
Yeah.
I did that too.
I actually had those. But like early 2000s and shit, like just such bad style. Yeah. 80s was cool though, and like early 90s was still like that. 70s was its own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think of Sinbad when I think of like real early 90s of just like the pants, the vest over a shirt, just but maybe like no shirt.
Some fluorescent tracksuit.
Yep. An earring.
Like,
a couple earrings
this.
On both ears.
Yeah. I saw Sinbad on a flight. I was going.
Is the name of your next special?
Yeah. I saw Sinbad on a flight. No, I saw him on, let's see. A flight. I don't know where I was going or where he was going. He was connecting from somewhere in Florida, and we met in Atlanta, I think it was. But anyway, I walked up I was going to sit down, and he was like, "Hey, what's up, man?" I was like, "Oh, what's up, dude?" And
that's so cool.
And we talked a little bit, and then I was texting my agent, who I was like, "Dude, I'm next to Sinbad. Like, how crazy is that?" Because we talk about how we love Sinbad.
Yeah.
And then he was like, "Does he have his leopard handkerchief?" And I looked, and he did.
Wow.
It was so funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
He called it.
Like he
brings
that
on stage.
I know, but he brings it with him everywhere. I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
He has some of the. He's so. Anytime I hear someone make a Sinbad joke, I'm so quick to defend it.
Yeah.
To defend him, not him. I'm sorry.
Well, he's kind of, just because he was so of that time, like he would be a go-to guy that you'd make a joke about. But like, he's so funny. That
dude, House Guest?
Yeah, he's so funny. He is so funny in that movie,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah. The scene when he gets the Novocaine
on his
hand. I know,
dude. I always think about that scene. It's so funny, dude.
I mean, Phil Hartman watching, like trying to like
I remember rolling on that, just laughing so hard, rolling around.
Now, had you known him before you saw him on the plane?
No, that was the first time.
So, but that's something that comics kind of have, where we just see another comic and we both kind of go, oh, okay, we can talk.
Yeah. Like, well, wondering, because I was going to be like, I wanted to be like, yo, I love your stuff, but
yeah.
But he said like, it first.
Yeah, well, he said hey to me first, that's but dope. I was like, I don't know if he knows who I am, like, because obviously he's been around forever. I know who he was since I was like 7.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if he didn't know who I was, who cares? Like, I mean, like, I didn't expect him to, but so that was very cool, actually.
Yeah, it's sort of this weird camaraderie thing where...
Definitely.
And you see comics posters, and you watch their material, and then if you know someone's a comedian and you meet them, it's kind of like, oh, have we met? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, some of the times I don't... some of the time I don't know, yeah.
But also a guy like that, I feel like you just don't know how much... Well, I guess with any, like, elder comic, you're like, how much do they have their finger on the pulse of what's going on?
Yeah,
like,
because
he could have been like, man, glory days, you were so funny in that shit. Yeah. You would have, you know.
But also, like... Like Larry David, I met Larry David, and he didn't know who I was. But like I don't expect a guy like that.
He's not trying to know who the upper ups are.
He doesn't, you know.
Now you saw Sinbad on a plane, so that's a positive experience. Mm-hmm. You've recently been tweeting a lot about negative experiences you've been having on planes.
About
what's been going on with you?
Well, every now and then you have I don't stick to an airline.
By the way, that was very Byron Allen of you. Now, Chris, you've been on planes.
It was a lot better than Byron Allen.
Like I know, but I
United, tell me.
That's Byron Allen would be like, so, you recently had eggs on a plane.
Yeah, and it's also, I watched it the other night. It's amazing how he does it, man.
Is it amazing?
Because he does it unapologetically. He's like, I know this is what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like he's trying to hide it, which would make me like, fuck this. But it's like, it's literally just there to, he's doing it the right way.
Yeah. I did that show with Brad so begrudgingly.
And you guys did it?
I only did it because he was doing it, and I was like, maybe we'll go on it together and somehow plug the podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was not
like,
that at all.
And like, we'll totally interact together and we'll improvise. Mm, yeah, and then yeah, every time we would start to, he would kind of look at us like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Like trying to have a
really?
Banter. Yeah. Oh, he was like, yo, funny. Man, I set you up. You do the joke.
That's hilarious.
And by the way, that's not a racist black guy voice. That's how he sounds.
Yeah.
But oh, I would get very like upset when he would start to set it up. Because I would hear, like, when I would watch the show and get upset when how, it, like, obvious his setups were.
Yeah.
And this motherfucker just remembered that this guy, it was like you were auditioning for The Tonight Show. Like, they were going, Carson's, we froze him, he's coming back. And you were, at one point he got up.
What did I do?
And, you know, you have amazing physical bits. So when you stood up and he did something where he, like, ran around the live audience.
Yeah.
He was running. I think you were jumping at one point. And I was just sitting there like,
I think I jumped on the couch.
Fucker.
Yeah. It's called
Comics Unleashed.
Yeah, he showed up.
It's called talent, Adam. Some of us have it. You know, some of us have a dedication to the craft. But
so
you know,
sorry,
whatever. It's fine.
That's a Byron Allen tangent that will never happen again.
I don't do one airline because I don't want to be like having to be like, oh, I'm stuck to this airline and now I have points. Mm-hmm. And so I just get the flight that I can get. And I have a travel agent and I tell him never book United. Unless you have to, because I don't want to like.
Because why?
Because I don't want to leave at 5 a.m. or I don't want to connect. And sometimes United is like, if you're going to Cleveland, you kind of got to take United.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I had to take United, I guess it were, you know, and I was like, and I always fucking, I mean, I fucking hate United. You know what I mean? Like, I hate them. They suck, dude. And I was just talking about this on my podcast, but I just fucking, they delayed the flight and I was going to miss my connection. And I was like, I got to get to Albuquerque. And then fucking, I tweeted, here we fucking go again, you know. And then they were like, no, never mind, it's not delayed. And I was like, man, I wish it worked like that. I wish it was the tweet that fucking.
Right? Like, wouldn't that be great if you could just correct it? Like, power. Hey, you lost my bag.
They suck, though, dude.
At your door right now.
But they fucking suck, man. They put Schoolboy Q's dog on the wrong plane. Did you hear about that?
No. Yeah. Schoolboy Q, for you white listeners out there, he's a hip-hop artist.
But also, don't.
I could not have sound more white right there.
But also, don't bring your dog on a plane. But still, he did, and they put it on a different plane? They probably did it because they were like...
He checked his dog?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I guess it wasn't little. Because if it's little, you just bring it.
Yeah.
But I guess... I don't know how it works. I've never traveled with a dog on a plane.
Did they find out who let the dogs out? Or?
All right. That was Adam Ray, everybody.
Yeah, I think we're done. That's all I needed. wait. So what is it... What about the staff? Like, is there pre-board people like that check you in? Like,
dude,
across the board, does it suck? Like, sometimes I've loved a flight, but one guy who is like doing the tickets is a total prick. And
no,
you're like,
it's just... The problem with them is it's not person to person. It's they don't... They just overbook, and they drag that guy out, right? And then they just don't give a fuck, and they don't make it better, and it sucks. Sometimes the people are nice, but it's like the corporation fucking blows dick.
Yeah. There's certain industries where, like, because if we're not funny, eventually people are just not gonna come see us.
I always say that.
Yeah, like, but like there are certain industries where you can fuck up and just treat people like shit, and you can literally look at them like, "Well, what are you gonna do?"
Yeah,
like you have to fly.
It's like but that's what bothers me so much is when I show up, like I fucking do the work, I do my job.
Yeah,
I fucking make people laugh.
Yeah, that because that's in your job description.
Yeah, but like United, it's and then fuck their shit with the. Like, and then they see the commercials and it's all beautiful and shit. And we're like, here at United. And it's just not what they fucking do.
Yeah. It's Matt Damon's the narrator.
Yeah.
It's false advertising.
Is he?
Yeah. He's the fucking voiceover guy for them.
I get myself into these situations, though, where like, because sometimes like I get like approached to do like, you know, campaigns.
Ooh.
And like now I know like I can never do United. Like, because if they were like, hey, we're going to give you this money to do it, I'd have to say no.
Right.
Because then I would be complete piece of shit.
Yeah. Or.
But how quickly would people like go, oh, you said you wouldn't, but you did.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
A couple days.
No, immediately.
Yeah, because
yeah, but I'm saying how long would people sit on that and really?
Oh, I see what you're
saying. You think every time you perform for the next 20 years, when you go on stage, someone goes,
"Sell out,
sell out."
Well, the cool thing about being a comedian is you could always make light of it and be like, make the joke, like
they paid me a lot of money.
Of course, I did it. You know, but
yeah.
But yeah, no, I
that's cool that campaigns are coming after you.
I mean, some, but yeah.
Are you picky about your ads that you do in your podcast?
I mean, I'm not gonna do. I don't think I've. I think I said no to one, but like not. I'm not gonna do like. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do like. I remember even when we did like my podcast now is Congratulations.
Yes.
But when I did years ago the 10-minute podcast one, we said no to like. I think it was like dildos or some shit.
Yeah,
like I don't want
fleshlights
or something like that.
And guess what? You said no, and we said yes.
Nice.
If you're looking for that new rubbery pink thing that looks like a dick and feels like a dick and just gives you all the feelings
and is the size of me.
A dildo, a Brad dildo.
Yes, exactly. Brad dildo.
Only $69.90. How much are they?
I don't know.
Yeah, and I feel like
$69.99 would be great, though.
Yeah, that sounds like the right number.
Yeah, I mean they're probably less than that, but maybe some are more. And we make it like good.
Who sets the price for dildos? You know, like for any of that stuff.
I mean, don't know.
Anal beads, like edible underwear. Who's going like? All right, we need to market this to like people that are. Like, you know, you don't want to make it $12 because you're like, oh, what? Our underwear is not that tasty? Like,
yeah.
What do you, whatever the.
Our underwear's not that tasty.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's gummy, is that does that cost more? And you're like, all right, make it 17 so we can have some profit on this.
I mean, and you know what? I feel like the market for edible underwear really hasn't been explored enough because it's all been like fruit snacks. It's all been like fruit by the foot. Like,
yeah, it's fruit roll-up.
Yeah.
It's literally just candy.
I've heard. Yeah.
Like what? Like well, why no, can't
I,
you
I
do
just
like
eat underwear for lunch?
Yeah.
Like, on the plate.
Your mom would pack edible underwear.
Yeah.
And
Hey, what do you got?
Ran out of fruit
turkey roll-up. Sandwich. Yeah. What do you got? Tuna. What do you got? Edible underwear.
Strawberry thong.
This way, either way, if you fucking are hungry or you shit your pants, you fucking are fine.
But all I'm saying is like it's only candy flavors. Like, there's the sweet. Where's the savory? Where's like the teriyaki jerky underwear?
Right.
And this is what's happening in the room.
That's what's in the underwear, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I got the fucking savory shit right here. That's what it is.
Congratulations, your new podcast.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah, it's pretty new. Thanks.
Yeah, you were talking about before we started just because I was saying how good you are at talking by yourself.
Thank you.
And I think, I mean, for a while, I think you've gotten good at, like with Vine, when you got really big with that. I mean, that came from being by yourself a lot, right?
Yeah.
And just like wanting to entertain yourself.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
So the podcast comes from where? Like, part of you was like, all right, I need something else for another outlet.
Well, I wanted to. Well, I mean, every comedian has one. And my agent was like, the same one I texted about Sinbad, was like, you should do a podcast because it's like, it helps with like
numbers.
Yeah.
Everything.
And I was like, really? But like, here's the other thing though. Here's why I didn't do a podcast for a long time, because I consider myself an actor as well, and like as an actor you don't want people to know everything about you because it helps
totally.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's why one of the reasons like Daniel Day-Lewis is so fucking good, you're like, well, but what is he, who is he in real life,
what flavor of edible underwear would he buy?
Yeah, you have no idea.
Nobody knows.
but if you're a comedian, the really great comedians, you know like everything about them.
Yeah.
So
how do you find that balance?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In for a while, I was like, well, if I don't do a podcast, I could still have that allure of who am I? But then I was like, you know what? Fuck it. You know, over the past 11 years, I've been making my own opportunities anyway, and let people. Yeah, it's also still a comedy podcast. I mean, I say shit on there that I don't really mean. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? Most of the stuff comes from my feelings and all that shit.
Are you finding bits from it? For sure.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, the podcast is really just kind of, a lot of it's just silly. Like, my last special that came out is silly, but I'm making Man on Fire. Yeah, Man on Fire. It's on Netflix now. But it's like, it makes a point, and it's a lot more personal even than...
Yeah, actually...
Well, my first two specials, and then also, it's even more personal than my podcast, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about the fact that you've been married before in the Man on Fire special, and that was like, oh, that's something that I think your friends know about you.
Yeah.
But that's something you haven't really revealed on stage.
No, I know, yeah.
Yeah, your first two specials were fire, but I even texted you this, like, I think this is your best one,
oh,
because
thanks,
it is, I mean, A, I think you're just, you only get better from doing it. But like the fact that you did like find a really honest yet like still very silly and you bringing like your style to that subject matter was really awesome.
Well, thanks.
Because like shit, I feel like that's the point at some point, right? Is to really reveal more about.
Yeah, I think so. And I also think that like the last two, the first two specials that I did, the one for Comedy Central, White Male Black Comic, and then Incorrigible on Netflix, they were me being silly and what I thought was funny. And I did that by design. I knew that if I started as this comedian being silly and making fun of other things, that I could always go to a more personal, get my comedy more personal, and that would be growing. But if I, so I wanted to almost get those two specials, I don't want to say out of the way, but like I could never go back, you know, like you can't be personal and then all of us, I mean, unless you're like some superstar, which I'm not yet, but like,
and then you just start going like random and silly, and you're like, no, but you talk about,
no, I think it's silly, it's silly to real versus real to silly.
Right, that's what I...
We'll be right back. Are you tired of the feeling of penises? Do you love the comedy of Brad Williams? Well, right now at Rite Aid and CVS, we have Bildos, the new Brad Williams dildo. That's Chris D'Elia didn't want to put his name on it, but we will.
Feeling funny.
And we're back.
Feeling funny. Yep.
That's the slogan. All right, you just talked yourself back into
there
the business.
Go. There you go.
Where, and your dad directed this one, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, is
I
that,
hired him three fucking times.
That's it so works. Dope.
So, yeah, yeah.
I mean, come on, he's a fucking G. But
no,
also,
no, I'm lucky to have him for sure. Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
But he hadn't done one prior to doing your specials, right?
He did.
Right?
Dove Davidoff's.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Yes, he did.
So you had a little experience there. Is it strange having your dad there? Because, like, is there ever a point where, like, because he's your dad, so you kind of defer to him, but then has there ever been points where, like, there's a certain shot you want or an angle you want where you're like...
There was a time in the last one. It happened in the last one where he wanted to get a shot from behind the curtain when I go back. I don't know if you saw the end of the special, but there's a... where I'm doing the Secret Garden bit, where I walk back and they shoot it from the curtain. Mm-hmm. I said, that's going to look corny. You shouldn't do that. And he was like, all right, well, I'm going to try it for the first show. We don't have to do it for the second show. And I was like, all right. So he did it the first show. And then he was like, yo, that shot looks really good. We should do it for the second show too. And I was like, I don't think it's going to work. And it fucking completely worked. It made it way better. And I was like, oh. But that's why he does what he does, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's nice that you have, but you also have that relationship because maybe if he wasn't your dad.
And, oh, yeah. And so, I would fight
and,
it.
Yeah. And some other director said that, you'd be like, fuck that. No, he's, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. My dad, I've seen his work. I know he's great. I trust him, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Is it way extra setup, too? Is that why you were saying no? Like,
or no, it wasn't like... extra setup. I just thought, use the camera to get a different shot, get a better shot.
Yeah.
You know, but he was right.
Is it distracting all the cameras? Because I'm getting ready
to. Completely.
Like, you know, I'm really like, you know, gearing up to hopefully do it soon. And like, that's my biggest, like,
yeah, but
really fear not even venue or how many people come out or how many you know, black people are in the audience. Like, it's just like how
very concerned.
It's the top I want a lot like Sinbad's crew. And that was the first black audience I ever did was opening for me, the Ontario.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable.
They're the best audience.
The best compliments.
Also, if you bomb, they're the worst.
Right.
It's why they're the best audiences.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
Yeah. Two extremes.
They loved my Folgers joke.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dude. Nice. Because it was, you know, part singing, and I put an extra little R&B on that.
We get it, Adam. All black people love singing. I totally
and
get
coffee
it.
Is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what? Great time for a commercial break. Do you still miss
feeling
the feeling?
Funny. That's sad. Sorry. Yeah. It's Matt Damon.
No, in shooting a special, like, the
so you don't
cameras
get used to it, huh?
The cameras are
I
weird.
Actually found the last special I did, it was the most distracting.
Wow.
It's that fucking crane that really is the most.
Because that doesn't belong there. It like doesn't, that, no. That doesn't fit.
I was doing
one bit.
You
can't hide it.
I was doing one bit where I look off to that side and the thing was right and I was like trying to not look into it.
Right.
And then this after the first show, I was like, yo, dad, like, can you move it? And he's like, it's a really good shot. And I was like, all right, I'll just deal with it. But it was in my head when I was doing it, you know?
Yeah. And something also that I've noticed is the two that I shot, the audience was pretty well lit.
Yeah, that sucks.
And that's strange because now you can actually, one of the reasons why people say like, oh, how do you stand up in front of so many people and just... Yeah. Strangers and talk. Yeah. It's like, because I can only see the front row.
I know.
It's really not that big of a deal. But then when you can see every face, it can kind of get in your head sometimes.
It does.
How much of you perform everywhere, but obviously the store we would say is home club, yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
And the OR, like, just...
Yeah. That's the best room in the country.
Totally.
I think, that I've ever...
I agree with that.
There's a lot of great rooms. I mean, the Comedy Cellar and all those fucking rooms are top-notch, you know, but that room is amazing.
And the Parlor on Melrose, also super...
That's not around anymore,
yeah,
but...
for sure, yeah. It's great for football. Let me finish my sentence. Great for football. Okay for comedy.
Okay, cool.
I love you, Jay.
This is an ad?
Yeah, yeah. It's not. Parlor, I'm finding a new place for football this year. Do you find it, though, to get so used to the lighting in the OR that, like...
Well, no, because I play so many different rooms.
Right.
But, yeah, I often, though... I mean, maybe, though, because I often say to people... When I show up and I do theater gigs, I'm like, yo, can we make the house a little darker?
That's what I'm saying,
yeah. Yeah, I do that. In theaters, they sometimes are, like, they're a little too bright.
You like to kind of see some of the people, but...
I like to see no people.
Yeah, and
maybe really. Just the front row or something, you know?
Yeah.
And also, there's a thing where the audience, if they can see each other, they're a little more hesitant to laugh.
100%, then, yeah, because they don't want... Dude, well, that's... Doing colleges is the number one thing like that, because they can all see each other, and then...
It's in a gym.
But they don't want to be... They also, like, in... Yeah, I know. And in colleges, they don't want to be the one who's laughing the loudest, because then they're the not coolest.
Right.
So, colleges are tough because of that.
Yeah, and they're always going to be like, yeah, I guess that was funny.
Right, right, whatever. Right. And then if they're the one who's laughing the hardest, then everyone's like, dork, you know what I mean? It's true, though.
Do you still do them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing a few in, I think, September or October or something.
How much does your act change?
At zero.
Zero.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
You won't do anything where they say, like, all right, we're going to get you, but, like, it's somewhat of a Christian school, so, no. Like...
Oh, I won't do it if there's restrictions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there was one, I'm doing Christian college or something like that, and I was like, I'll do it if there's no restrictions. He's like, no restrictions. I was like, they better fucking mean it.
Is that the new Christian Leitner College in...
oh, that's why they said that.
Christian Leitner University.
90s.
Yeah, but also right I knew it. But here's what I also love about that. You 90s, but also... Yeah.
Yeah.
Because for the guy who hates sports the most...
I know.
...knows the most about the names.
Well, 90s sports, yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
This has got to be the best time of the year for you when it's like sort of like the MLB All-Star game and like nothing else is going on. There's like no sports.
Yeah. Yeah, actually. I was thinking about that the other day. Somebody was saying like, yeah, I guess you're right though. But somebody was reminding me that, who the fuck was it? But they were like, yeah, there's like nothing going on, right? Like, what?
Yeah, it's just baseball right now.
Right, right, right. And Wimbledon, that's like the most chill one. Which one?
Wimbledon.
Yeah, well, true. But that's not even in America, right?
No.
No. I thought you were going to say that's not even a sport.
That doesn't count, right?
That's tennis. It's a recreational activity. Whatever.
Hey, your boy.
Save your tweets, tennis players.
Your boy Tim Raines is going to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, did you really?
Know that? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I say your boy because when I used to go on the road and open for you and we would rap about 90s baseball players, that name always came up for you.
I didn't know he was that good, to be honest.
Yeah.
Really?
Hall of Famer, dude. Him. I feel like you should. I feel like you should tweet that out. A congratulations to him. And see what happens.
He'll probably see it at that point.
Fuck yeah, he will.
I didn't know he was that good. I mean, no disrespect. I liked him, but yeah. I didn't know.
I think everybody liked him, but I think everybody was just like,
I guess, yeah, he's pretty good. Really fucking.
I don't know what his numbers were.
I liked. Yeah, I don't fucking remember that.
And also, I want.
Oh, real quick, I want to say that's what I really want. The D'Elia amount of social media followers, because like. I would be tweeting athletes nonstop just because I was like, oh, they'll see not only the check, but they'll see the number. And then at that point, too, they should know, hopefully, either who I am or have heard of me to where Tim Raines would be like, appreciate the shout out. Or I saved you a seat at the Hall of Fame ceremony. Do you want to come bring a Man on Fire t-shirt and a so cute hat? And I will wear both. While I'm inducted. If he ended his Hall of Fame speech with like, thank you so much, and to the Chicago White Sox, my family, you guys are looking so cute today.
Yeah. That, God, I hate that fucking so cute thing now. Because here's the thing. Because I will say I 100% without a doubt coined that fucking term. There's no question, okay, period.
Yes.
Nobody will doubt that.
A lot of people don't know it because it got so big, which is fine. But like, I still talk like that, where I do, like, that's from, my brother and I have been doing that for decades.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like, but we, the first one we ever did was somebody was so drunk that we went, no, the first one we ever did was somebody was like, said, would say some, anytime anyone said anything insecure, we would say, Sin Secure. and then we did Sedrunk. Like whenever we'd see somebody out so drunk, we'd be like, that's Sedrunk. But then like Secute was like so, it was like one of the first five or six. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the funniest that we thought. But now that everyone does it, it just lost its luster.
Yeah, like, you know, like, I mean? Like it's no longer the thing of just you and your brother.
Right, right. And also though, people do it like completely wrong, like where they'll be like so secute and you're like, no, you don't have to say so. Like, so it just turned me off to it.
That's, but like a guy that like would the wrongfully use, yeah. Like you're like, God, I gotta take a shit, and you're like, that's what she said. You're like, no dude, that's not that's when
a,
you that's use
exactly
that.
What it's like. I mean, that phrase is a little more famous, but
I don't know, man.
She said it's, but I actually copyrighted it or whatever, because people would I mean, stores were selling pillows with it on it.
No,
like, yeah,
fucking really? Way. Yeah. What you've stores?
Gone, yeah, you've gone. To the
well,
way
let's
of,
not give them any love. Actually, that's right. Fucked up.
You've gone the way of a Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, I mean, I've made zero money on it, but
written on. But you sold merch with it, right?
I did. Yeah. Years ago, 5 years ago. Yeah, but I literally don't. I don't even like. I'm weird like that though. Like even like the drunk girls bit, like is that mm-hmm. went so viral, like people yell it out at the show to do it, and I say, yo, I'm not doing that fucking bit, like this is new shit, like
that wow. that is weird when that happens in comedy where yeah. it's like some people be like, hey, do the thing yeah. that I already know the answer yeah. and the punchline yeah. too. It's like, why?
It's not music, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like people don't, I always thought that people don't realize that they don't want to see the bits that they think they want to see.
Yeah, they think they do.
They want to see the new shit.
Right, they think they want to see it, but until you start doing the yeah, bit, and like, then they're oh, like, yeah. oh, this wasn't as good as the very right. first time yeah, I heard it.
Also, I don't know about you, yeah. guys, but like legitimately, when I like stop doing material, I forget it.
Yeah.
Like
it's out.
I couldn't do anything from Incorrigible. No way.
Wow.
No yeah. way. No way.
Just
no
the
way.
Rhythms, the time.
No way.
Yeah, because you were.
No,
in
I don't even know. I don't even know what I was saying. People will say, hey, "I love that bit," and I'm like, yeah. What is it like? And yeah, I don't remember it. Yeah. Man on Fire. I could probably do some of it.
Wow.
But yeah. No, I don't remember
already.
No, that's absolutely true. I had a guy.
I fucking forget it.
Yeah.
You do too.
Yeah, I had a guy yell out because I do a bit about going overseas to do mm-hmm. USO shows and mm-hmm. something involving a helicopter.
I think I heard a bit. Yeah.
And then someone yelled that out and was like, I don't yeah, like. I started doing it and then midway through, I'm like, I'm gonna have to make up the rest of this. Like, write it as I go because I don't know the punchline to this bit.
The last time I did my drunk girls bit, I was like, it was already years after, and then this was years ago, but they were like, it was at college, and they were just like chanting it, and so I was like, you guys. I swear to you, I don't remember the fucking bit. I'm not fucking with you guys, but I'll try to do it for you, but you guys have to like do it with me because I have no idea. I don't remember how it goes. And
you have to like Andrew Dice Clay.
And I went through it.
Yeah.
And I went through it, and they were, and I was like, "What's next?" And then they'd be like, blah, 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 and they'd say, that. And like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." It was fucking kind of crazy.
Oh my god,
that's nuts.
Yeah, it was like 1,000 students. It was so weird.
Yeah, because I mean,
I don't remember where that was.
He got to the point where like when Andrew Dice Clay was doing the nursery rhymes, he would start it, and then the audience would finish it and just explode.
But also, that's like the death of your act too,
right?
Because it's like it's not funny anymore. It's just catchphrases, and it's like I don't. That's why I like to. That's why back to the secute thing. Once it got big, I was like, I don't want to do it anymore. Like so that's how I am.
Are you now cognizant of like because. You know, I think, and you do it very beautifully, but unintentionally, I think, because even with Secute, it's not like you.
No, I was trying not to trying to coin a branded, term. There's no fucking way I was trying to do that.
But it's, you do have a.
I realize I do.
Similar to Theo, I feel like you have a way with your verbiage and vernacular where you like sometimes pair things
Theo's
to where
the
greatest.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you could come up with another one that like, but. And then my question is, if you found yourself saying something, you're like, oh, and then you're saying it a lot on the podcast, maybe, and people will dictate how popular it is, right? Would you start to go, oh, I'm going to stop saying that now?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
But some of them I like. There's one that I do on the podcast that's so stupid where I was saying about how, like, it came up when I was talking about Coachella. Which, if you know anything about me, you know I hate that.
Your rant, by the way, I don't know what episode that is, but it was, what was that? whatever, go back and look up congratulations whenever it was, like the weekend after or of Coachella.
Okay, yeah.
It's a fucking brilliant.
Oh, thanks.
I must have listened to it 5 times on the airplane, dude. It's just so, it encompasses everything that anyone who hates Coachella.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Also, people who go probably would listen to it and be like, yeah, he's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you have to understand, yeah. But like, but so I did the, I did the thing on, and so basically what I was saying was, when the bit wrapped up, I was like, I can't stand the people that just go to Coachella because it's something to do and they see other people are going, so they feel like they have to go when they don't even give a fuck about who's playing in the band, and it's just, it's about the event, right?
Yeah.
Like, that drives me nuts. And I likened them to when barracudas see shiny jewelry, they go for it thinking that it's food or something.
Right.
So I'm saying you're just basically being like that. You're yeah. seeing something and you think, oh, something, and then you go to that. And then so I was saying,
no purpose or thought.
Yeah, yeah. Just so, right. So I was saying, like, are you a fucking barracuda? And so I changed it to Yakuda. And so now, anytime anything like that comes up in a podcast, I'm just like, Yakuda. And everyone fucking tweets me Yakuda. But I still like that one because that's for the podcast, you know?
Yeah, like, and that's also, there's like, it's not just a, like, there's, whereas Secute is right. like, it's so cute. Cute is like, all right, there's a little hidden
message. Yeah, you
got to
understand
that.
What it is. Yeah, there's also another one. I actually came up with United. When I was talking about United, I was like, if you're that bad at your job, then I get to fuck you in the ass. and it's because there needs to be some sort of retribution.
Sure.
And I don't want to fuck you in the ass, but you have to understand
right.
that this is what happens if you do this. So I would say, why is your nose facing the same direction my nose is? It should, oh no, I'd say, why is your nose facing my nose? It should be facing the same direction because I should be behind you, so turn around.
Turn around.
So I can fuck you in the ass. So there's Yakuda and turn around, and people seem to run with those.
Well, you know what, even, I don't know if you even remember, but the last time you were on the podcast, which I think was almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, what was the one?
Bogoinga.
Yes, what was that?
It was living, like a lifestyle.
Yeah, forget this shit.
Living that Bogoinga lifestyle.
I remember the Bogoinga term.
I might have to go back and find the audio and put it in here, but it was like, we ended up talking about something that was like, I want to equate.
You made it up, I thought. I think you said it.
And I'm going to isolate that audio. But right. I think I did. But you then took it to the next level of like, because we were saying like what the Bogoinga lifestyle was. It was, we were telling some story, or it was something having to do with not giving a fuck, or like.
Okay, yeah.
You know.
Basically, it would probably be the same in like the Axe body spray commercials, like living that Bogoinga lifestyle.
Okay,
or
gotcha.
Maybe the
we
most
gave a lot of examples.
World.
I'll have to find it.
I remember.
But a lot of people tweeted about
that.
Yeah,
no, I remember that. That's why it solidified in my brain.
I want to hear more about the making of Man on Fire.
Yeah.
Start working out the material about your divorce and being married? Was it like easy? Was it challenging? Were you like, how careful were you with like, all right, I don't want to fuck
I
up how
think I need,
much
I
reveal.
I think I need time. Like I, at this point I was married 9 years ago and I think 10. Mm-hmm. And I just needed time to realize why it was funny, you know? I don't think I never purposely didn't talk about it. I just like thought I kind of like was like, you know, my first specials, I was like, those are all the things I thought were funny in my first fucking 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's now and what has happened in my life for the past 5 years. So that's kind of how that happened. And then I started talking about my marriage on stage. And Rogan pulled me aside afterwards and he was like, dude, that fucking shit, whatever, I can't remember what the joke was, but he was like, that's fucking funny. And I was like, oh, cool. Because I like totally respect him, you know?
Yep, yeah.
And so that was like, so I was like, oh, all right, cool, I'll roll with that. I mean, I had already been doing the bit for a while, and it was, but I was like, you know.
Was there ever any hesitation? Like, maybe I shouldn't talk about this, or maybe?
I mean,
or like, I don't want to say this because she might see
no,
it.
No, yeah. I don't. I mean, I'm obviously, I don't say anything. I don't think I say anything shitty, but, and it's also jokes.
Yeah.
But, there was never, no, there are certain things that I do need to, like, still think bits that I haven't done that, like, I know are funny that, like, I don't, you know, that I might do, but I have to figure out how to do them because she's fucking awesome, and like I don't want to, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make any, I don't want to paint anybody out to,
no,
to be, because yeah, that's the other thing too. You can look up and see who I was married to. If right, I do a joke about some guy that worked at the 7-Eleven, like, you don't know who the fuck I'm talking
yeah
about.
Yeah, but so you can actually equate that to right, an actual right person.
So,
and for a lot of people, their only interpretation of who she is, yeah, would is going to be your that jokes.
And then, yeah, and then, like, people, like, I do stuff on the podcast where it's like, we're like, I'm like, some, no, sometimes I just retweet somebody that's negative to me, like, mm-hmm, and people like light them the fuck up, dude, and they like yeah tell, like, fucking kill yourself, and it's like,
and you're not doing
that's
it for
not
that
what
reason
I want. No, yeah, I'm like, I'm just being silly, having fun, you know,
right, and letting you guys know I don't take this shit too seriously.
Yeah. By the but, way, hell yeah, so duly noted. If you want to get a retweet from Chris,
well, say some nice things.
Yeah, because, yeah.
But I do, but I do. If sometimes I put people in their place, but anyway, feeling funny.
You said you were done with catchphrases.
Yeah. Feeling funny, but feeling funny, and you might want something inside you.
Hey guys, hope you're enjoying the episode. Brad Williams and Adam Ray here. Just want to tell you guys real quick about one of our new sponsors that we are fucking loving. And I say loving with a capital L and a capital oving.
That's right. Mack Weldon.
Heard of him?
Premium menswear. This stuff is so comfortable. They sent us a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
The underwear is fantastic. And the underwear doesn't make you smell. It's antimicrobial.
I didn't know what that was, a word or a thing.
I had to Google it 4 or 5 different times, but apparently it's awesome.
That to me is always the strong sign of a dope clothing company. A, that has clothes that fit you and are super comfortable. And like, we both got these and we were a little skeptical because they claim to be the most comfortable clothes. And then we both put them on and we're like, oh shit, like the socks are as comfy as the underwear, are as comfy as the hoodies, are as comfy as the sweatpants.
I'm wearing a sock on my dick right now.
Yeah, I know. And I love that about you. You're a sock dick now.
Yep.
And, you know, when they have like antimicrobial things, it just, to me, that's always like they're going above and beyond and really trying to cater clothes and make clothes that are not only comfortable and look good, but like feel good on your body. And that's the whole point of wearing clothes, right?
That's right, Adam. So go to MackWeldon.com and use promo code ALN to get 20% off right now.
That's a lot of percent. And the clothes are so comfortable, if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it anyway, and they'll still refund you. No questions asked. Who else does that? Does Quiznos?
No.
Fucking no, man. Go to MackWeldon.com right now. And now back to the episode.
I have to know something, because I...
Are you good for about 50 more minutes?
Yeah. Great. Yeah, for sure.
I follow you on 20. Instagram, and you're constantly, right, like, during your Instagram stories, just having, like... You have the camera on somebody, and it looks like you're like 4 feet away from that person. And you usually like mock people, like, or for either how they're dressed or how they're standing or what. And has anyone ever seen you videotaping them and gotten mad at you?
No.
No?
No.
You're just a pro at this.
No, it's just easy.
Yeah.
People are like, how do you, you just, dude, there's two ways. There's like, some people are like, I don't know how to explain it, but I'm trying to, but like, people like, I see people, first of all, people film me all the fucking time. I see it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, but like, I just walk up to people and I fucking just basically put it in their face.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, well, there's no fucking way he's doing that.
So just,
do
like,
I mean?
If you're they like, think this, like, oh, you're checking a text or something.
Like, yeah, if you're like this.
Like, and like holding it tight against your chest and like trying to be inconspicuous about weird. It.
Nobody holds phones like that.
Yeah, but if you're like I'll like scrunch my eyebrows and like look at the camera lens with the phone up, pointed at you,
yeah,
like I'm looking at something, and they think, oh, it looks like he's actually filming me, but he can't be, because why would he fucking right, be that abrasive about it?
I think you did one time where you were literally like passing someone on the street,
yeah,
and you held up the phone, and you're walking right by them, and you said something along the lines of, obviously a molester.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, how did that guy not fight you after that?
I don't know.
I think just deep down, a lot of people don't care.
Or maybe he really was a molester. He's like, well, he nailed that one.
Although I was videotaping a mall security guy when I was in Seattle at the parlor, and there was a piano out in the middle of the mall. And so Avery, we're all, you know, we've been drinking, and we just take off the cover and the sign that said don't play it. But it's like, there's a piano in the middle of the mall. It's 2 in the morning.
Stupid,
we're going to play it. So he starts playing it. Literally, I've never seen a swarm of mall cops surround a piano faster. I've never seen it at all, but I was assuming this was like record time.
Did burnouts on their Segways.
And they all come out and they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, with the intensity as if like we were jerking off on the piano.
Right.
Yeah.
And And so I started videotaping one of the guys who was just being so funny because he was like, the piano had a sign on it for a reason. Like, just way too, you know, he was doing his job, but like, sure. Also, man, we're grown adults.
Right.
He can talk to us like people. We weren't going to do anything too bad. So I started taping him, and he grabs my phone in my hand and goes, bad idea. And then I go, so I start laughing because I'm like, all right, you said okay. that like we're in a movie. Right. Like, this is very funny. And then one of the other guys goes, yeah, he goes, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And then pulls out a piece of paper and shows me all the things that they can do if I were to tape that and put that on the internet.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Which was, I mean, it was a long list of things that I just didn't take time to look over, but it was like all leading back to like, you'll go to jail, you'll blah, 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 you'll like, pay a fine.
Yeah, I feel like they could have shown
was
you
it
the.
Written in crayon? The
yeah. They could have shown you like the instructions on how to install IKEA shelves and been like, right. yeah, look at all this shit. And right. then just like close it up and then you probably yeah. wouldn't know.
I mean, so that, anyway, but I mean, I think most people just don't, right? In right. your case, when you're taping.
Too much, yeah. You can't be, if you're out in public and you're shooting something, that's completely legal.
Has anybody ever called you out for doing it?
No.
Yeah.
Never.
Has Jean-Claude Van Damme heard of your impression and
oh, I don't know.
And called you out on it?
No, but I wish. That would be cool.
How did that start?
In high school.
No shit.
Watching, yeah, I was watching.
Because I just recently heard it from you.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't do it all that much. I actually have done it in the past month or two a lot because of I've been doing so much press for Man on Fire.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like, Carolla brought up Jean-Claude Van Damme, and I was like, all right, I guess I'll fucking do it. You know? but, yeah, I did. No, you know what it was? It was in high school. It was right before...
Time Cop?
It wasn't even that. It was even before that. He did like a bumper in the movie theater. You know how in the movies they would have like commercials before the previews?
Yeah.
Well, they still do, but this is when they started doing that. He was one of the first ones where he was riding in on a motorcycle. This guy was riding on a motorcycle, and they were having cameras and shit follow him in the really cool ways, and they were very cool, weird swooping shots and nice shots and all this shit. And then the helmet comes off and it's him, and he had his long hair. Remember when he had his long hair?
Oh, yeah.
The mullet, right? He would shake his hair out and you're like, oh shit, that's Jean-Claude Van Damme. And he would say, and he said, machines like these. What was
he you're like trying to
an
get
actor
it.
Prepares.
He said, well, I can't remember the first, he said like two or three words and he said, with machines like these, new and sophisticated ways of moving the camera can be made. He was talking about whatever cameras. What he said, it was something like, feeling funny? With machines like these. You know, I don't remember what it was, but it was like, with machines like these, new and sophisticated ways of moving the camera can be made. That's what he said. Exactly. And so I just thought it was so funny, and then I did it after the movie, and I was like, oh, it kind of sounds like him, and people were like, damn, that's good. And and then I watched like Street Fighter a few months later or something, and that was just so funny to me.
Him
about
as Guile.
Him. Just him, like, where he says, and Bison, I'm going to kick that son of a bitch's ass so hard that the next Bison, the next wannabe is going to feel it. That's what he said. So ord killed me though. You're gonna be so ord.
he's trying to do a U. He's trying to like take off a letter.
Yes, so ord. Yeah.
Yours is a so cute. His is so ord.
So ord,
dude. I mean that is
I would pay. I don't know why Jean-Claude really Van Damme doesn't have a reality show. Because I would.
Yeah.
I would legit watch.
Yeah.
Just him to and Chuck see, Norris maybe.
Just to see him on Tinder. Like going through Tinder being like,
no, everything.
Don't like you.
Swipe left. Swipe right.
He narrates everything he does.
Yeah, of course he does.
Like Mike Tyson has a cartoon. I feel like in that same world, Van Damme should have.
Yeah.
I don't know where you put him, but.
When I was coming up, I wanted to do a Saturday Night Live tape. They were holding auditions, you know, they do it. And I said to my agents, I was like, I should do a Jean-Claude Van Damme. And they were like, I don't think anyone would care about a Jean-Claude Van Damme impression. And I always thought that was wrong. I don't have those agents anymore. But
because you shouldn't.
I was like, that's fucking hilarious.
Because anyone that denies you. Hell, he has a way of coming back into pop culture every few years. Like, I think it was a few years ago, he did that commercial for, I think it was Volvo,
I think.
Where he was doing a split in between two trucks.
Yeah.
Going, and like, he was describing it as like art.
Yeah.
Like, these are the world's perfect split.
Yeah.
Like,
I can't remember what he said, but that was,
amazing, that commercial.
Does he sponsor anything? I feel like that would be like, that's a voice.
Feeling funny?
But like, the new Arby's double cheddar bacon. I mean,
the new Orbeez.
Cut. Look, Sean. Sean, it's a hard A. You're
or Orbeez.
No, you're adding a letter that's not in the spelling of the restaurant.
What is it?
Arby's.
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 No, well, now you're doing like a pirate.
That's, Arby's.
No, it's not a pirate.
Arby's.
No,
it's O-R-B-I-S.
No,
Orbeez.
Well, you're spelling it wrong.
Okay, like, you know how Jean-Claude, you know how you punch people with your arm?
Right.
Yeah, so it's
yes,
like...
Yes, I do. I do.
So let's say you punch somebody, and you say, as you're punching them, what part of the body you're using, right? So you're like, take that, villain, I just punched you with my arm. So let's say you did that.
Take that. With my arm.
No.
God
damn it.
O-R-M.
No, man. Why would you spell it in front of the villain?
Orm.
He doesn't care how good you can spell.
Take this from my arm.
No.
O-R-M.
No, it's not.
You're making up a limb. That's not a part of the body.
O-R-M.
Dude, that's... Oh, my God.
I would love... I would pick...
That's the opening of the cartoon, is him doing... he gets a big Arby's campaign.
Yep. Yeah.
Try the new Arby's.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
All right. A few more things.
I'm ready.
Did you like when Finesse Mitchell?
Oh, yeah.
Did the impersonation of
that
you?
That made me laugh hard.
Okay.
Hard. I was screaming. I was screaming, man.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been, I've seen an impression of
you
that's...
He was just more of a physical thing.
Yeah,
right?
He wasn't doing your voice, but you were doing a press for.
I guess I phoned it in. I don't remember feeling like I phoned it in, but that's something about me that I know people always think like I'm in a bad mood and shit, like
because you're not in everyday life the version of you on stage.
But I also think like I've heard like people like one time I was shopping with a friend. This was years ago, and she was like, "Is everything okay?" And I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "Okay, you seem like, you know." And I was like, what? She was like, well, I just didn't know if you wanted help or not because you worked there. And I was like, well, yeah, you just asking me if I wanted help? And she was like, yeah, but it seemed like maybe you didn't want me to ask that. And I was like, huh? And I was like, what's up with my face? And she was like, you just look like somebody that doesn't want to be approached. And that always stuck with me.
Wow.
Yeah. This is before I wasn't in anything.
Well, I mean, because, and like you said, people kind of expect you to be the same guy on stage. But they also have to realize, if you were the same guy that you were on stage all the time,
everybody would hate me.
No one would like you.
Yeah, nobody would hang out with me.
Jean-Claude would.
Son of a bitch.
He's the only guy who's like me.
Why are you not like the guy on stage?
He comes to your show finally and... Dude, that's a great thing too. Maybe he comes to a show and befriends you, but then he's constantly frustrated that you're just like... When you guys hang out and get coffee...
Why are you so quiet? Stand up.
I mean, okay, the way you're doing it now makes it feel like he should be doing a GPS thing. Or some sort of like...
Tick or right.
Alexa. He's an Alexa.
That would be a big... Yeah, why? I don't understand.
He should be an Alexa that talks back to you.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, well, hey, John, play Hanson's Umbop. Why would you pick that?
He has to be loaded, though. Because otherwise, why? Because he could be doing so much, but he's probably just loaded.
Do you think that's how you can tell when somebody of that stature and just have been around, when they start doing things that you're like, why would you do that? You're like, oh, they need money.
Yeah, I think so, right?
Yeah.
Or like somebody gave him like an enormous amount of money, like Morgan Freeman does like voiceover for shit.
It's
like
for commercial stuff.
Yeah, like why would he do that? But they must give him millions of dollars.
Right.
I mean, he's got to be, what was he worth, $100 million? He got so much money.
I bet he's made more from voiceover than he has from acting.
Yeah, because those companies pay a lot. I mean,
think about the companies he's turned down, right? Like, think about the audio just sound bites they have in the tank that's never going to see the light of day of like...
100%.
Are you feeling a little sleepy? Head on over to Jamba Juice. We've got a new strawberry dream machine. I mean, like, there's so many, or maybe the edible underwear.
Yeah.
We got all sorts of flavors. We got strawberry, blueberry. Boy. We even have something called pooberry.
Boysenberry.
No one knows what that is. It's a fake berry.
It's a fake berry.
Dingleberry.
That's it. Yeah, that's the one.
I feel like Jean-Claude could really be like working in on Morgan Freeman's work. Like if he could come in and do voiceover of his own for
Pizza. He is so famous though, right? Jean-Claude Van Damme?
So famous.
Right.
I would there's not there's certain names that even when people are like, oh, I don't know, who does that look like, and everybody knows what it looks like and who he is.
Because I mean, guess I feel like
Regis Philbin, everybody knows.
Like Jean-Claude
Van Damme, everybody knows.
Jean-Claude Van Damme has to be the only actor ever who starred in a movie that the title of the movie was his initials.
Right, right.
What was that?
JCVD.
Yeah. He was in a movie
that was
called
JCVD. Later on, like that was probably like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I think the last Jean-Claude movie I saw was Double Team.
Mm-hmm. With Rodman. Dennis Rodman, right? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But he was like, because there was like Schwarzenegger and Stallone.
Yeah.
And then below that, there were like Seagal, Jean-Claude Van Damme, right?
Yeah.
That was, he wasn't like a Schwarzenegger.
Right. No. Well, right. Yeah, he wasn't like the roided out action stars, but he was still like,
you know why?
The splits and kick people.
You know why I think he never got to Schwarzenegger's level?
Why?
Didn't ever do like a Kindergarten Cop type
movie. Yeah, he wasn't, you know? Yeah, you're right. He took himself seriously, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until, you know, recently, I think.
I guess, or maybe Double Team was his comedy.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be funny. It's me and Basketball Power.
Was it? Was that funny? I don't remember.
I think Rodney. Unintentionally. It was like Showgirls, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You ever seen that?
Yeah, I've seen Showgirls.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I like when they fuck in the pool and she's like doing the shoulder thing. Like, what is that? Even as a kid, I was like, they don't fuck. Nobody fucks like that.
No one has ever done that move.
You know what I'm talking about.
No one's ever flailed around like a fish out of water trying to get back into the water. Yeah. And that's it's like, oh, I fucked her so good, she flailed like a dolphin.
Right.
Like, that's never happened.
Yeah, no. And also, you can't fuck in the pool anyway. Like, it's too hard to do that.
It's really tough.
And I feel like there's a class action lawsuit where people can sue movies where you fuck in a pool because it's like, you can't do that. Yeah. I don't know why you made me think that I could do that.
Right. Like, you could be watching fucking Lord of the Rings, and then when that happens, you're like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of Lord of the Rings, I love your tweet about Game of Thrones because I was so highly anticipating something from you about it. Because
really? Yeah.
Do you watch it?
No, I don't watch it.
I haven't seen it either. Started one episode.
Yeah.
Wanted to like it.
Yeah.
Couldn't get into it.
Well, I saw four episodes and then they were like, you got to stick to it. And I was like, how long? How long you have to stick to it before then what?
Well,
then
you're into it? Don't you want to be able to talk about it with a stranger at a coffee shop?
But that's like, no, but that's like, oh, yeah, like you got a plate of food and like you eat 10 bites and they're like, you gotta keep eating though, man. It gets good. And you're like, I'm almost done. Like, what? Like, how long?
Yeah.
Make it good from the beginning, dude.
No, you gotta wait.
What a great way to
wait. Make it good from the beginning.
Yeah, but Ed Sheeran's gonna be in that next bite.
No, but like, when I started watching The Strain.
Mm-hmm.
That was good in the beginning. The demon is there already in the fucking first show.
Right.
And I'm in.
People are dying. Great.
I don't want to have to wait for the dragons, dude. I don't want to have to wait for the fucking dragons, man.
I mean, now I feel bad because, like, I have to watch the show because there's a dwarf in it. So I feel like I have to.
You do have to, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to support my people.
I get it.
Yeah.
I watch everything with white guys in it.
Sure.
Just regular white guys.
Just regular white guys with beards. You're like, well, I got to support my people.
You love crime shows, though, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
That's your, like, Forensic Files?
Yeah.
I think I've heard about you talking
about
that.
Forensic Files. Well, anything, really. Like, some of them are too. I like the ones that are a little more, like, easy to swallow. Like, I don't like the ones, like the first 48 is a rough one to watch.
Oh, really?
Like, those ones are. Sometimes you're like, oh, it's like graphic and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Forensic Files, like, Snapped is one. Like, all the ones.
Snapped scares me.
Yeah,
because she's like, chicks. Well, he didn't compliment my bolognese, so I cut off his dick while he was asleep. And you're like, Jesus Christ, that's a thing?
I know.
Yeah.
What do you love about those shows, though? The way they solve the crimes, it just like seems.
Yeah, I try to figure it out. And then
oh, nice.
Yeah.
I like the ones that have real cheesy reenactments.
Yeah.
Like, if they could have actors where you know, like, the actor hates themselves for taking this part.
Yeah.
I love that.
I think Andy Corzell did one of those.
Yes.
Or he was one of those.
Oh,
guys.
Really?
Yeah, I think he did. He's a buddy of ours.
I would do it for fun.
I would do it
like if any one of those shows, like, hey, some dwarf got murdered, and first of all, I'd be like, well, that I know the guy. You should be a little more sensitive. And then, like, if they asked me to be the guy, I'd be like, fuck yes, and I would totally play it up.
Yeah,
I worked at a casting office with a guy who booked one of those jobs and was going to get a SAG card from it, and he came into the office one day so distraught, and we were like, Tony, what happened? He was like, remember that serial rapist that I was playing that was going to give me my SAG card? Told all my friends and family about it. It was supposed to air next week. Yeah. And they found the guy. They're not airing the episode.
Come on.
Swear to God.
Seriously?
Yep.
And so he was like on America's Most Wanted or
really
something?
Funny.
Yeah.
And he was like bummed that they got justice.
Man, that's fucking.
He's like, they're not going to air the episode.
Funny,
we're like,
man.
But they caught the guy.
Yeah, they caught a serial rapist.
I don't think you heard me. Yeah. I'm not getting my SAG card.
That's really funny.
That's how,
dude.
Yeah. That's how you know wow. actors are pieces of shit.
Like I mean, some. That's like. But I also like in his eyes, he was so. I mean, dude, he'd been in it. You know, this was maybe my second year post college. He'd
really,
been in it 10 years, and
I
this was like
really committed to being a rapist. In that scene.
Also, yeah, and I was trying to find some silver lining. I was like, no hey, man, you booked the job. Yeah. Also, hey. Let's yeah. look at the job you booked. Maybe it's time to change that look up. Get a new haircut. You booked a serial rapist. Like,
yeah, I don't think I'd be too happy if someone said, like, you know what you look like?
Yeah.
Serial rapist.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Well, it's okay. It's kind of, well, no. People think it's... I don't know how this sounds, but like it's kind of sexy to look like that. I feel like girls want you to look like you'll kill them, but you won't kill them. They do.
Like you have the power, but you're not going
yeah.
to.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, you could, but you won't.
Yeah. They like that.
Threatening, but also protective.
Right.
Yeah.
So like drive a panel van, but then have it really nice inside.
Yeah.
Like
I guess
not
so, yeah.
like not like duct tape and
right, yeah.
things like that inside. But yeah, just like a nice van.
Do people ever think you're in like a 90s grunge cover band? Or will you turn into one of those actors like Kevin Bacon, Dennis Quaid, who eventually starts one of their own bands?
No, I won't do that. But somebody thought I was... Yeah, somebody has. People have thought that. Yeah,
Eddie Vedder.
I just saw somebody said. No, like they get confused. You know, like if you're not that famous, people get confused who you are.
Yeah.
So I've had guys come up to me and be like, "I think I just saw you play." You know, like I'm like, "What?" And they're like, "Who do you think I was?" I don't remember.
In the Viper Room. You were there.
I can't remember where it was, but he was like, it was an older guy. He was way older, but he was like, I think he thought I was the guy from. Who's the one that's they're not married anymore, but Kate Hudson?
Oh, Chris. Shit.
Crows? Black Crows?
Yeah, was that Black was? Crows. What
that
the
guy.
Fuck is his name?
I think he thought it was that guy, which is crazy. I don't look anything like him, but I have a beard.
Chris Porter listens to this podcast, and right now he's so mad at us for not knowing the lead singer of the Black Crows. He's Chris something, right? Yeah.
It's same name, I think.
Oh, now I got to look it up.
Black Crows.
And I'm literally hearing Chris Porter... yelling at his radio right now.
One more reason for people to listen to congratulations, your latest rant on Jay-Z. And I particularly found that hilarious because I didn't know that was possible for somebody to rap
Chris
about.
Robinson. There we
yes,
go.
That's
sorry.
It.
Great. Welcome back to Too Late, Brad.
Yeah.
Welcome back to We've Moved On, Brad.
Yeah.
when he was rapping about Jews and that's a real thing?
Well, in the song he mentions like Jews twice. Mm-hmm. And he's like talking about how his like he should like people should be more like the Jews and
not terrible
save
advice.
Their money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
sound advice.
It was but it's just funny that he said it like two or three different times on the album. It was like I was like he's like it sounds like he's like
your impression
trying
to was so
not
good
be
of
obsessed.
It.
But it, so I just whatever, I'm just a fucking idiot, so I was just talking about that on my podcast.
But then you just kept, like, doing examples of Jay-Z rapping
well, he's
about
all,
Jews.
Cause it's definitely different. Like, you have to grow as an artist. Like, he's not talking about, you know, what the shit he used to talk about.
Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah,
and some of the songs are really good.
Yeah, he can't exactly talk about, like, yo, it's tough in the project.
Yeah,
it's like,
got,
all right.
You're going to have three kids. You know, and
like, you got three kids and $1 billion. Dollars. Like, you can't really talk about that anymore.
Yeah, so I'm just making me laugh. But don't you guys do that shit, too? You post some of it on Instagram? About your podcast?
Yeah.
To so let people know?
Yeah.
Does that help? I don't know. I was doing that.
I think you just gotta, you know, find as many ways to get it out as possible.
Yeah.
When you don't have
hunger. I always feel weird cross-promoting on the different social things, you know what I mean?
Right. You're doing one thing to promote another.
Right, right.
Like, hey, Instagram followers, be sure you follow me on Twitter.
But
do you think we're done with social media, the amount of things to use? Because, like, you know, as somebody who is always at the precipice of when something hits, like Vine and Twitter and Instagram, like, are you like, man, I'm so over these. I want a new one. Like,
I guess the last big one was Snapchat, right?
Yeah. You don't fuck with that anymore?
No, I do. But, you know, Instagram got the stories. And so, but there hasn't been a new one for like a few years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That hit, yeah. No, I
like,
whatever.
You get
I'm
anxious,
happy
so you're
that
like,
way. No, I'm happy that way. I don't want to have to fucking do a new one.
I think Jean-Claude Van Damme should introduce his own social media app.
What would it be?
Kicks? I don't know.
Yeah,
a shoe line?
Kicks.
The shoe, yeah, a shoe for if you need to seriously kick some ass. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But it's an. It's got to be an app.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's got to be a.
Come on, dude.
I was thinking of footwear. Yes, and it's a footwear. The worst improviser. Yes, and them, but then goes idea. Against it.
Yeah. It's a footwear.
Thanks for doing this.
Thanks.
You're the greatest. It's been like a few years, I think.
I know it has. But, you know, I'm
but
back.
Everything else is good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Man on Fire. Yeah, watch my special, Man on Fire.
And congratulations on is on iTunes.
Yep.
And please,
and the movie that yeah. you guys did together, the horror
oh, yeah.
movie.
Yes.
It's
coming out in September, I believe.
Little Evil.
Yeah.
It'll be available on Netflix.
Brad
Chris and I are in a comedy horror movie
actually,
where...
Actually,
yeah?
I should tell the story.
Okay.
I went...
Hold that thought, Chris. Have you lost
funny?
The Do you hate penises and love Brad?
All right. I don't know if you know this, yeah. but when they sent me the script, yeah. they were like, hey... We want you to read for this part. They want you to come in. It's for like a little person.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, why would I go in? And they were like, because they're not sure what they're going to
mm-hmm.
cast. So I was like, okay, I'll go in because I like the script. Right.
Yeah.
It's funny. So I go in and the fucking this guy's in the waiting room. And I'm like, I'm not going to get this.
Right.
And then he got it. And I got another part in the movie,
yeah,
obviously, but like...
Yeah, and then for me, I read the part as, oh, it's a little person, and then I show up, and then you're at the audition.
Right.
I'm like, wait, why the fuck is Chris D'Elia going out for a little person role?
Yeah.
He's going to get the damn part.
Well...
But
you
then
got it.
Fair
and square.
Turns out turns out I play a dwarf better than you.
Way better than me.
Wait, but you also did a
what if I watched a movie and I'm like, I still think I could have done that.
The way Brad flew through the window,
yeah.
I could have totally done it better.
You know Jean-Claude thinks that. You know, like even when he sees like Denzel and Hurricane, he's like, I could have played
yeah.
that.
I could like, have done
no, because it no, it was no, it was.
I should have played Hurricane. I should have played Hurricane.
No, he was a black boxer, so you can't
put a makeup on.
That's called blackface.
I get a suntan.
Very offensive.
Wait, real quick,
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You also did a drama this year in
yes.
What was that like? Just I mean, completely doing
it was
the opposite.
It was a cool experience. It's cool because this movie I think is going to open up other. Opportunities for me.
Fuck yeah.
It's a pretty wild part. And I don't think I can say what it
okay.
I play, but it's
can you talk about just the prep and the
yeah.
mind? Like did you get like
no it yeah, it was just
consumed.
Yeah, I mean it's such
was
a specific
half magic
wild part. No, that's a different movie.
Okay.
It's called Life in a Year.
Oh, okay.
And it was with Cara Delevingne and Jaden Smith and Cuba Gooding Jr. and RZA.
Wait.
How is Jaden Smith in a movie and it's not a comedy?
No, I know. The kid's actually good, man.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
we give him a lot of shit.
People think
of
that,
Twitter.
Oh, he's just Will Smith's son and he's crazy, but no, the kid's good.
Well, both those are right, but also, yeah. well, they say that because
yeah.
it's right, but also,
yeah. No, he was, and I actually really liked him. He was fun to hang with.
No, wait, so you're homies with him now?
Well, we FaceTime sometimes.
Okay,
yeah.
That's homies, man.
Yeah, we're homies.
We FaceTime sometimes.
Yeah.
You sound like my Aunt Shirley, who's 88.
Well, because I don't FaceTime. He's the only person I FaceTime with. He would FaceTime me after... I haven't FaceTimed in a few weeks, but he'll just like FaceTime me out of the blue. He'd be like...
You always pick up?
Just be like, Jaden Smith, and I'd be like, all right, yeah.
I got to answer this because my life rules.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Does he ever wear the white Batman costume when he FaceTimes you?
No. I feel like...
Weird question, Brad. Does he?
I think that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, dude.
You know, he's not. People are like, "What the fuck? What a weirdo!" He knows what he's doing.
Dude, I feel like the Smith family, aside from being uber talented, like very calculated, and they orchestrate their business
yeah.
moves, right?
Yeah, I mean, I met all of them except for Willow. But
wait, what? You met Will?
Yeah. Well, he was producing the movie.
What?
And they all seem like they're just a great family, man. That's what they seem like. Yeah.
Mm.
You don't strike me as someone that would geek out to somebody like that, but with Will Smith. But did it get to a point in a conversation?
I geeked out to... Well, no, I was working with him, so it's different. I didn't want to be like that. But I geeked out when I met Keanu Reeves as a fan, for sure. I went to the John Wick 2 premiere, and I geeked
nice.
Out. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does you geeking out look like? Just doing
just
Keanu
like
Reeves
smiling
to Keanu
and like,
Reeves?
I'm like, I can't believe he's over there. Like, you know, yeah. It's fucking... And then I got a picture with him, and I asked him like a fan.
Did you guys like compare beards?
No, he looks younger than me, dude. He's 50 and he looks like...
Does he sound like your impression of him? Because that's like one of the first impressions I heard you do, and I was like, oh, that's unbelievable. This guy does great voices.
Oh, thanks.
And then I haven't heard one since Jean-Claude.
Yeah. No, I don't, because I also don't, even though I end up doing impressions to be silly, like, I don't like to do impressions, you know, but they're funny if you're just chilling. But, like, he's so him, you know what I mean? He's just him. But that's why he's so cool. That's why I like him, you know? He's, like, one of my favorites, man.
That's awesome.
So it was really cool to meet him.
He really is. I don't want to say underrated because I feel like he gets his due credit, but, like, he's, when people talk about, they're always like, Daniel Day-Lewis, Ed Harris, you know, Ron Howard's brother, you know, like they're Clint Howard.
Clint Howard.
No, it's never Bonnie Hunt.
Are we trying to break the Guinness record for the most Bonnie Hunt references in the podcast?
I'm sure if you're playing the Bonnie Hunt drinking game, you're probably dead. You're so dead.
Dead.
Have you done so dead?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's been decades, bro.
Fuck. On, look at, you see how excited I was that I created a catchphrase? And he's like, oh, you got it, dude. Bro.
I got that.
How's that edible underwear sponsor going? Well, you're the best. Thanks for doing this. You're, I mean, you're, you know, just crystalia.com for your shit, everything. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's it.
I was looking at you.
You guys both looked at
I thought you had something.
That was going to happen to me.
Yeah. And now, here's Bonnie Hunt.
Jesus, I guess that's how we'll end.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.